The growing call for more coronavirus restrictions, balancing health and the economy in the cities. COVID-19 cases are going up, but the average age of those testing positive is going down. In Rock Island County, the largest number of confirmed cases is now among people in their 20s, followed by those in their 30s and 40s. In Scott County, almost half of all positive cases are among people 18 to 40 years of age. But that demographic is also important for many businesses and is a major factor in tourism. Putting restrictions aimed at them will have a wide-ranging effect. And that's what we talked about when we had a chance to discuss the impact with Visit Quad Cities President and Chief Executive Officer, Dave Harrell. Dave, thanks for joining us. Tell me about the state of business right now, the state of entertainment and tourism business in the Quad City area.
Well, Jim, good to be with you. I think, you know, obviously from a tourism standpoint, you know, we are going through what many are referring to as our Great Depression. If you look at the dollars that have been lost domestically since COVID hit, it's about a $360 billion, you know, impact, and you know, millions of jobs lost, and obviously that's been such an adverse and a negative impact on our economy, and we're feeling it here in the Quad Cities. I think everybody knows that. We've all been experiencing that over the last, you know, several months. But I think from a tourism perspective, and the things that we want to continue to reinforce is that, you know, we are open for business, and albeit it's a little bit different now, and obviously we want to be safe and responsible and do the things that we need to do to present a safe environment and atmosphere for people that are coming here, that are consuming the Quad Cities. We still want people here. I mean, we got to have our economy, you know, sustained. We've got to have our economy, you know, thriving again. And if you look at the data points and if you look at the numbers, I'd say we're actually holding serve in metrics that are things like hotel occupancy, which we, you know, look at, you know, every week. We're actually beating the Illinois average. We're beating the Iowa average, and we're beating the national average. And I think that's something that we can use as a silver lining. There are sectors that are outperforming others. Certainly the meeting and convention and conference space has been incredibly challenged, as well as live events too. But there are still people coming here, and there is activity. And that's something that we obviously want to continue to reinforce as we need to get our economy moving.
Well, the Quad City area beating the average, what do you attribute that to?
Well, I think there's a lot of things. I think perception that we are considered to be a more safe environment than maybe markets like, you know, Chicago. I think the fact that there are people from rural communities that view the Quad Cities as a destination that they might want to travel to get a well-rounded and blended experience. And then if you look at things like sports tourism, I mean, yes, did we lose events like the Bix and the John Deere Classic and some of those things, but the youth and amateur sports have actually still been activated during the summer months, and there's been a variety of events that have still been occurring, and that has really been helping our hospitality, you know, community be sustained. So I think there are some silver linings that we can always, you know, take out of this. I think the fact that we are a drive-to market and you can get here pretty easily, I think positions the Quad Cities in a different respect than maybe a market where you have to fly to. But I think we've been holding our serve. Are we down? Yes, we're absolutely down from what we normally experience. But in other markets, that could be in the 25%, 35% hotel occupancy. We've actually been in the upper 40s, 48%, you know, upper 50s in some weeks. And so that's something that we're, you know, certainly proud to be able to say from an economic impact perspective?
Well, now we're under this warning from the state of Illinois, Rock Island County in particular. Scott County is facing, you know, the White House Coronavirus Task Force was recommending bars being closed in more than 60 counties in Iowa, including Scott County. You're talking about metrics. The metrics as far as COVID-19 are concerned don't seem to be going in the direction that health professionals want. So this feeling like there could be added clampdowns is real right now.
It is real, and that has an effect on everything. I think from a Visit Quad Cities destination, you know, standpoint, you know, we're going to continue to do the things that we need to do to convey a safe and responsible, you know, message, you know, do the things that we all have been talking about for months and months, and whether that's, you know, proper protocols to, you know, social distancing, to wearing a mask, all of these things are message points that we are delivering along with our friends through the COVID-19 coalition, which we're a part of. And so we've been doing that for months and months, and we're gonna continue to do that as we ebb and flow. And so even though we're seeing, you know, some spikes, we wanna make sure that people still, you know, understand the significance and the importance of why they need to follow those protocols, but still, let's try to focus on keeping our economy growing, because we need to.
Well, and we're seeing those spikes, particularly among people 18 to 40 years old. And correct me if I'm wrong, that's really the bread and butter for tourism, is that age group, isn't it? I mean, it's a big slice.
Well, you know, it's, I wouldn't say it's really the bread and butter of tourism. I mean, we've got a variety of different demographics and psychographics that we connect with from a consumable perspective, and the people that come into the Quad Cities. If you look at our destination, we really skew female, and we skew probably 25 to 44 is really kind of the average as it relates to the numbers. But certainly we want our younger folks to be smart, to be responsible, to do the things that we need them to do so that we can be positioned to come out of this. And that's really the message that we want to continue to put out there.
I think it's interesting also is that one of the proposals that's being put out there in Iowa was perhaps even raising the drinking age temporarily, because the younger people being in bars appear to be becoming more infected and spreading it easier. My question though to you is that as far as businesses are concerned, I mean, we have talked to some businesses that say, hey, we don't want to just all be lumped in together, that everyone has to pay because certain establishments are not following the rules. Are you hearing that as well? Is that don't make blanket prohibitions when there's a few bad apples compared to the other businesses in the same industry?
Well, the things that we hear from the hospitality community and the small businesses that we're connected to, and it's a lot of them, I think, in the destination management, you know, world, you know, you are connected to a lot of different sectors and a lot of different industries, in particular small business. And what we are hearing is this. I think our small businesses that are adapting, they're thinking about how they sustain their business to make sure that they're surviving. They're getting creative in what that delivery experience is to consumers. And we do hear that. You know, I think sometimes the blanket posture can impact businesses that are doing the right thing. I mean, people have choices. You know, people have choices to wear a mask or not to wear a mask. And, you know, from our perspective, it is something that we're encouraging, you know, people to do. And whether you're 8 or 80, it's something that's responsible. So, you know, from our perspective, you know, we do want to make sure that our small businesses, the ones that are really the authentic experiences that make the Quad Cities so great, you know, we want those to survive. It's not that we don't work with our big chain operators. We do. But I think small business is what makes a community special. It's what differentiates you from other markets that are out there. So I think we want to make sure that these folks are positioned to come out of this. And if they've got to be agile, I think they understand that right now. But the more that we can try to help them be successful and thrive is something that we want to continue to do.
And let's talk about that a little bit further, because you're kind of pointing out that as far as the entertainment and the tourism business is concerned, this could be likened to a depression era period. And the depression, as you know, I mean, it weeds out weaker companies very cruelly, but the companies that aren't that strong get weeded out first. Do you think the worst has happened? I mean, there's got to be people that are near the end of their ability to survive these cutbacks.
Well, yeah, it's hard for me to really kind of provide any depth to that. But what I'll tell you is this. I mean, if you look at what our live events industry is going through, you know, whether it's, you know, meetings or events or conferences or concerts, things that happen from an entertainment perspective, you know, our theaters, our performing arts venues, you know, the Tax Layer Center, which is right down the street. These people, you know, they are absolutely completely challenged through this process because there's no activity. And I think a lot of times people don't realize the amount of jobs that are connected to industries like the live event industry. They've got spillover effects to your economy in a variety of ways. And so when you look at what they're having to experience, it really impacts everybody. It impacts the economy, but it also impacts really our quality of life, our quality of place, our social well-being. And these are things that we're very concerned about. And the Quad Cities is no different than other markets, whether it's Des Moines, whether it's Chicago, Springfield, Peoria. And everybody is going through this, and I think everybody's just trying to figure out, you know, how do we put forth a protocol that's safe and responsible? And then when we do come out of this, how are we going to be positioned to seize on the opportunities to make sure that we've got some vitality moving again? Because it is about jobs. And in our community alone, there's 8,240 hospitality jobs that are connected to our visitor economy. So that's a lot of people working in this space, and we're thinking about them every day because you know, we're hoping that we can get out of this so they can go back to work.
Let's talk about how you plan for the future. I mean, at about this point of the year, you would be well into your plans for 2021. You'd have every month mapped out as far as events are concerned. What does 2021 look like? Because I'm sure people are trying to be optimistic, but at this point, there's a realism that this is a slow-going infection that just doesn't seem to be going away anytime soon.
Well, I think in the destination management, you know, world, I mean, we are very future-facing. I mean, that is something that we've been working on. Our board of directors, which we're so blessed to have, you know, strong community leaders that care about, you know, tourism, our team, the partners that we've got the pleasure to work with, you know, every day. We've got a plan. We've got a long-range tourism master plan. You know, we are executing against that plan. We rolled out a fiscal year 21, you know, business plan to our board recently and our stakeholders with, you know, goals and objectives and KPIs and the things that we need to do to try to drive tourism. Tourism will be an integral recovery tool for our community, and it's something that everyone needs to understand the significance and the importance of it. So, I mean, we're booking events. We've got events in 2020. There are things that are happening in a variety of different sectors over the next couple months, and we're doing the same thing with fiscal, with 21, 22, 23, and beyond. So we don't feel like we need to slow down. We need to continue to adapt and evolve and try to sell our destination because it's really important. It's important to creating you know, jobs and having economic prosperity and building our brand and attracting and retaining talent. And also from a localized, you know, perspective, getting locals here to understand that, you know, we need you out, we need you doing things, supporting restaurants, supporting hotels, supporting attractions, you know, supporting small business retail. So from a campaign perspective, you know, our real three pillars that we're focusing on are this, you know, all things local, And then really a short haul drive to concept is really kind of number two for us. So a 200-mile, you know, radius. And then lastly, it's what are we doing to kind of get back to the meetings and events and conferences that we've been able to see, and how can we book those again in 21 and 22 and beyond. So, you know, that's really our focus, but we've got a plan and we're gonna execute it.
So when you talk about that plan, is it basically based on a slow recovery? I mean, it's not gonna be like a light switch where, oh, we had COVID-19 and now we don't, everything's fine.
Yeah, I don't think that's a real realistic, you know, viewpoint on our visitor economy. And if you look at our visitor economy in Scott County and Rock Island, you know, County, 2019, you know, figures about $954 million in expenditures. So a pretty significant, you know, impact to our economy. I think we're going to see a couple year recovery process. Now, again, the things that Visit Quad Cities and our regional destination have, you know, that's going for us is our geography. I think we're very accessible. I think the fact that you can get to the Quad Cities here pretty readily, I think sets us up and positions us well for the future. And the fact that we are more of this drive-to option, that we're not a fly-to option. We work very closely with our friends at QCIA, and Ben Leishner and his team, and the airport's critically important to our future. But I do think you're gonna see more people driving into our community. That's a national trend, and I think that's something here locally that we can take advantage of. We've got wonderful outdoor destination assets. We've got a world-renowned Mississippi River that we can activate. We've got some amazing, you know, hiking, cycling, outdoor opportunities for people. So the people that might be in larger communities, and let's just use Chicago as an example, they might want to look at a destination like the Quad Cities because we're drivable. You can get here, you can experience us, and if you can do that in a safe and responsible way, then that's going to be good for our economy and it's going to be good for our soul.
We've been talking about the fact that sports tourism has been growing in the Quad City region over the last few years, kind of an exciting area of growth for the Quad Cities. What do you see for 2021 as far as, let's be honest, that brings in families, that brings in so many people to the Quad City area. Are we going to see the sports next year?
You know, Jim, we're actually seeing the sports this year. So sports tourism has been one of the silver linings for our visitor economy over the last, you know, few months. And I think you're looking at assets and venues like the TBK Sports Complex being activated with youth baseball and softball. You know, there's been wrestling events that have occurred. In October, we're hosting a world walleye national, you know, championship here with 42 of the best, you know, boats and fishermen in the nation that are going to be competing here. You know, we've got the North American Fast Pitch Softball Tournament, which is happening at Crow Creek Park. There's a lot of events that are happening in 2020, probably at least 20 that we know of. And then in 2021, you know, we are planning on hosting the Missouri Valley Women's Basketball Tournament. We are currently looking at some NCAA championship events. We've got the NAIA Men's Golf Championships at TPC Deer Run. So there is a lot of activity that is happening. We have still been bidding on, recruiting, and trying to solidify events for our future. So our team is not, you know, slowing down, because in our space, it's very competitive. So not only within a Quad Cities framework, but communities all around the country recognize that sports tourism, a lot of times, is Teflon. Now, is it gonna be down? Yes. But it is something that rebounds faster, and we need to make sure that we're competitively, you know, positioned to seize on those opportunities. We've got a 5-year strategic plan for our sports tourism model. We're excited about that. We're executing against that plan, but it is something that we are spending literally every hour of the day still trying to figure out what can we possibly bring to the Quad Cities. So as we adapt as a market, we're going to be adaptive with the kinds of sports that are going to happen from an event perspective. But I don't think it's going to slow down. I think it's just going to adjust, and we're going to adjust accordingly with it.
And in the short term, it seems the key is local. If you're able to get out, do it safely, support your local businesses, that seems to be your key message right now, right in the here and now.
Well, I think it's not only ours. I think it's a lot of organizations. Our friends and partners at the Quad Cities, you know, Chamber, they've rolled out a campaign as well. We work very closely with them. But I think our local businesses, they need to survive. We want them to thrive again. And so if we can build that consumer confidence within our regional destination and let people know that there are still options for them to enjoy the things that they've been enjoying for years, but we got to support our businesses. You know, that's what's critical to our community. You know, do something, get off the couch, get out there and help us, because I think the more that we're connected to all things local, that's going to help us.
Visit Quad Cities President and Chief Executive Officer Dave Harrell. There are, of course, plenty of fun things to do during this pandemic. In fact, people are inventing some clever options for you right now. Laura Adams takes a look at some of them as she goes out and about.
This is Out and About through September 17th. WQPT is holding a screening of Ken Burns' The Gene on September 17th at 7:30 at the Bluegrass Drive-In. Or get your groove on at Thursday Night Groove, a free concert at Schwiebert Park, Thursdays through October 1st at 7 p.m. Check out an art exhibit about the 74 Bridge at the Smith Studio and Gallery in downtown Geneseo throughout September. River Music Experience presents Hale Reed and Mississippi Journey at Live at 5 September 4th at the RME Courtyard starting at 5. Centennial Park is the location for Quad City Touch Rugby. Teams play a minimum of 7 registered players on the field at one time through October 9th. Sign up your team and play. Grab the family and join the fall fun Saturday, September 12th from 9 to 2 with 60-plus artisans, vendors, live music, and family-friendly activities at Iron and Grain in East Moline. A tribute to the music of Fleetwood Mac fills LeClaire Park as the Quad City Symphony Orchestra brings you the Riverfront Pops on September 12th. On stage, Circa 21 presents the delightful comedy The Savannah Sipping Society opening September 9th. While next door at the Speakeasy, Augustana Theater Professor Shelley Cooper presents Ethel and Mary, How I Learned to Sing on September 12th. The Quad City Festival of Praise with Big Daddy Weave takes over LeClaire Park September 5th. Get your tickets online. For more information, visit WQPT.org.
Lojo Russo says her soul has been recharged and the future is brilliant. She's performing in public again with a stop at the River Music Experience's Curbside Concert Series. And next weekend, she's going to be in Dixon, Illinois, Music on the Square. But she joined us at Moline's Black Box Theater last year to perform one of her originals. So here's Lojo Russo and Restless Soul.
There's a sign down on Main Street. Tracks me like a moth to a flame, illuminating words saying thank you, please come back again. It reminds my restless soul I've been here too long without a word or a whisper. Going, going, gone. There's a girl back in Boston, remembers better me. When I took everything for granted, gave it all away for free. It reminds me of a time when I thought I could do no wrong. And like a fading photograph, going, going, gone. I am tired of running. From place when you stand face to face with the weight of it all. Your heart hits a wall. Side to the story no one has ever heard. It's the side that's the truth, and the side where no one gets hurt. I'm reminded that history is written by those who are strong, and like pages torn and tattered, come home.
Lojo Russo and Restless Soul performed on the stage of the Black Box Theater in Moline. On the air, on the radio, on the web, and on your mobile device, thanks for taking some time to join us as we talk about the issues on the cities.